The last reason I wanted to give you this was to continue the tradition, Jane said. Your mother and your father each gave you an elephant. I wanted to give you one too. I hope you like it.
I love it,
I said, and then launched myself into Jane. She caught me and hugged me. We hugged for a while, and I cried a little bit too, because I was 8 years old and I could do that. I eventually unhugged myself from Jane and looked at the pendant again.
What is this made of? I asked.
It's jade, Jane said.
Does it mean anything?
I asked. Well, Jane said, I suppose it means I think jade is pretty.
Did Dad get me an elephant too?
I asked. 8-year-olds can switch into acquisition mode pretty quickly. I don't know, Jane said. I haven't talked to him about it because you asked me not to. I don't think he knows about the elephants.
Maybe he'll figure it out, I said.
Maybe he will, Jane said. She stood and took my hand again, and we looked out at Huckleberry once more. About a week and a half later, after we were all moved into Huckleberry, Dad came through the door with something small and squirmy in his hands. No, it wasn't an elephant. Use your heads, people. It was a puppy. I squealed with glee, which I was allowed to do, 8 at the time, remember, and John handed the puppy to me. It immediately tried to lick my face off. Aftab Chengalpet just weaned a litter from their mother, so I thought we might give one of the puppies a home, Dad said. You know, if you want. Although I don't recall you having any enthusiasm for such a creature, we could always give it back.
Don't you dare,
I said, between puppy licks. All right, Dad said. Just remember, he's your responsibility. You'll have to feed him and exercise him and take care of him.
I will,
I said. And neuter him, and pay for his college, Dad said.
What?
I said. John, Mom said, from her chair, where she had been reading. Never mind those last two, Dad said. But you will have to give him a name. I held the puppy at arm's length to get a good look at him. He continued to try to lick my face from a distance and wobbled in my grip as his tail's momentum moved him around.
What are some good dog names? I asked.
Spot, Rex, Fido, Champ, Dad said. Those are the cliché names anyway. Usually people try to go for something more memorable. When I was a kid, I had a dog my dad called Shiva, Destroyer of Shoes. But I don't think that would be appropriate in a community of former Indians. Maybe something else. He pointed to my elephant pendant. I notice you seem to be into elephants these days. You have a Celeste. Why not call him Babar? From behind Dad, I could see Jane look up from her reading to look at me, remembering what happened at the toy store, waiting to see how I would react. I burst out laughing. So, that's a yes, Dad said, after a minute.
I like it, I said.
I hugged my new puppy and then held him out again.
Hello, Babar,
I said. Babar gave a happy little bark and then peed all over my shirt. And that's the story of the jade elephant. 5. There was a tap on my door, a rat-a-tat that I gave Hickory to use when I was 9, when I made it a secret member of my secret club. I made Dickory a secret member of an entirely different secret club. Same with Mom, Dad, and Babar. I was all about the secret clubs when I was 9, apparently. I couldn't even tell you what the name of that secret club was now, but Hickory still used the knock whenever my bedroom door was closed. Come in, I said. I was standing by my bedroom window. Hickory came in. It's dark in here, it said. That's what happens when it's late and the lights are out, I said. I heard you walking about, Hickory said. I came to see if you needed anything. Like a warm glass of milk, I said. I'm fine, Hickory. Thank you. Then I'll leave you, Hickory said, backing out. No, I said. Come here a minute. Look. Hickory walked over to stand next to me at the window. He looked where I pointed, to two figures in the road in front of our house, Mom and Dad. She has been out there for some time, Hickory said. Major Perry joined her a few minutes ago. I know, I said. I saw him walk out. I heard her walk out, too, about an hour earlier. The squeaking of the springs on the screen door had gotten me out of bed. I hadn't been sleeping, anyway. Thinking about leaving Huckleberry and colonizing somewhere new was keeping my brain up and then made me pace around. The idea of leaving was sinking in. It was making me twitchier than I thought it would. "You know about the new colony?" I asked Hickory.
"We do," Hickory said. "Lieutenant Sagan informed us earlier this evening. Dickory also filed a request to our government for more information."
"Why do you call them by their rank?" I asked Hickory. My brain was looking for tangents at the moment, it seemed, and this was a good one. "Mom and Dad, why don't you call them Jane and John like everyone else?"
"It's not appropriate," Hickory said. "It's too familiar."
"You've lived with us for 7 years," I said. "You might be able to risk a little familiarity."
"If you wish us to call them John and Jane, then we will do so," Hickory said.
"Call them what you want," I said. "I'm just saying that if you want to call them by their first names, you could."
"We will remember that," Hickory said.
I doubted there would be a change in protocol anytime soon. "You'll be coming with us, right?" I asked, changing the subject. "To the new colony." I hadn't assumed that Hickory and Dickory would not be joining us, which, when I thought about it, might not have been a smart assumption.
"Our treaty allows it," Hickory said. "It will be up to you to decide."
"Well, of course I want you to come," I said. "We'd just as soon leave Babar behind than not take you two."
"I am happy to be in the same category as your dog," Hickory said.
"I think that came out wrong," I said. Hickory held up a hand.
"No," it said. "I know you did not mean to imply Dickory and I are like pets. You meant to imply Babar is part of your household. You would not leave without him."
"He's not just part of the household," I said. "He's family. Slobbery, sort of dim family, but family. You're family, too. Weird, alien, occasionally obtrusive family, but family."
"Thank you, Zoe," Hickory said.
"You're welcome," I said, and suddenly felt shy. Conversations with Hickory were going weird places today. "That's why I asked about you calling my parents by rank, you know. It's not a usual family thing."
"If we are truly part of your family, then it is safe to say it's not a usual family," Hickory said. "So it would be hard to say what would be usual for us."
This got a snort from me. "Well, that's true," I said. I thought for a moment. "What is your name, Hickory?" I asked.
"Hickory," it said.
"No, I mean, what was your name before you came to live with us?" I said. "You had to have been named something before I named you Hickory, and Dickory, too, before I named it that."
"No," it said. "You forget. Before your biological father, Oban did not have consciousness. We did not have a sense of self or the need to describe ourselves to ourselves or to others."
"That would make it hard to do anything with more than two of you," I said. "Saying, hey, you, only goes so far."
"We had descriptors to help us in our work," Hickory said. "They were not the same as names. When you named Dickory and me, you gave us our true names. We became the first Oban to have names at all."
"I wish I had known that at the time," I said, after I took this in. "I would have given you names that weren't from a nursery rhyme."
"I like my name," Hickory said. "It's popular among other Oban as well, Hickory and Dickory both."
"There are other Oban Hickories," I said.
"Oh yes," Hickory said. "Several million now."
I had no possible intelligible response to that. I turned my attention back to my parents, who were still standing in the road, entwined.
"They love each other," Hickory said,
following my gaze. I glanced back at it. Not really where I was expecting the conversation to go, but okay, I said.
"It makes a difference," Hickory said, "in how they speak to each other, how they communicate with each other."
"I suppose it does," I said. Hickory's observation was an understatement, actually. John and Jane didn't just love each other.
The two of them were nuts for each other, in exactly the sort of way that's both touching and embarrassing to a teenage daughter. Touching, because who doesn't want their parents to love each other right down to their toes? Embarrassing, because, well, parents, not supposed to act like goofs about each other. They showed it in different ways. Dad was the most obvious about it, but I think Mom felt it more intensely than he did. Dad was married before. His first wife died back on Earth. Some part of his heart was still with her. No one else had any claim on Jane's heart, though. John had all of it, or all of it that was supposed to belong to your spouse. No matter how you sliced it, though, there's nothing either of them wouldn't do for each other. "That's why they're out here," I said to Hickory. "In the road, right now, I mean. Because they love each other."
"How so?" Hickory asked.
"You said it yourself," I said. "It makes a difference in how they communicate." I pointed again to the two of them. "Dad wants to go and lead this colony," I said. "If he didn't, he would have just said no. It's how he works. He's been moody and out of sorts all day because he wants it and he knows there are complications. Because Jane loves it here."
"More than you or Major Perry," Hickory said.
"Oh, yeah," I said. "It's where she's been married. It's where she's had a family. Huckleberry is her home world. He'd say no if she doesn't give him permission to say yes. So that's what she's doing out there.